This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Are you ready for a shock? Here we go. Researchers in Rochester, Minnesota recently reported that 70% of Americans are on a prescription medication. 70%. And more than half of those individuals take at least two medications each day. This is not even including over-the-counter drugs we consume like candy across this country of ours. Cardiologist Dr. James Markham is with us today to discuss this latest finding. I'm sure he has a lot to say because his latest book is entitled Medicines That Kill. Dr. Markham, what does this latest research suggest to you?
Yeah, Charles, and you know, it's not popular to talk about this, but you know, we're going to step out and talk about this. You know, in my last book, Medicines That Kill, yeah, I wanted people to think that, you know, medicines might be causing a big problem. In fact, in that book, I argue that medicines is a number one cause of death in America. Mm. After writing that book, I thought I wouldn't be going on the radio and talking about this topic. But recently, researchers in Rochester, Minnesota, have, as you stated, found that 7 out of 10 Americans are on prescription medications. And more than half of those receive at least two medications.
Yeah.
And medications do have risks. They also have benefits. And what I argued in that book, and it's available for everyone. You can go to the website, check it out, heartwiseministries.org, go to your bookstore. But what I argue is that, you know, we have societies for the American Cancer Association, American Heart Association. Those are leading causes of death. But it's now time to first say the American Society for the Responsible Use of Medications. Yeah. And when so many people are taking medications, it's something that we should talk about. We might have this. Well, anyway, these researchers at Mayo Clinic, they reported to CBS in Atlanta. And they found that antibiotics, 17% of people studied are on antibiotics, Antibiotics are not without risk. 13% of the population were on antidepressant medications, okay? 13% of the woes they studied were on opioid, painkillers, okay? And these were the most common prescriptions written. So antibiotics, antidepressants, painkillers. Now, a staggering in this study, and it really blew me away, that 20% of Americans, 1 in 5 that you pass on the sidewalk, were on, listen to this, 5 or more prescription medications. This information alone, you know, points us to the increasing problems. You know, if looking at this, you know, the painkillers, yes. Depression, yes. If the number of prescriptions are going up, that means more and more people are having problems with pain and depression.
Yes.
Now, again, and I've talked about this before, the real solution to the problem necessarily isn't giving them a prescription pain medication or medicine for depression. Yeah. It's to figure out, well, why does a person have pain? Why does a person have depression? If we can fix the problem and answer the question why, maybe we don't have to take the next 50 years of medications and deal with all the risk. And we know that painkillers kill people. They quit breathing. They get addicted to them. They take more and more. It slows the bowels. We also know that depression medicines can sometimes cause people to think crazy. It can affect the rhythms of the heart. So it's all over the literature now. You know, I feel like I'm sort of on the cutting edge since now they're talking about it, but I beat them to this punch. Then there's the Institute for Healthcare Informatics. They've recently reported in the media that the U.S. healthcare system could save $213 billion, Charles, a year by just reducing medication overuse, where we're using too much, underuse, where we're not using much, and other flaws in care that cause complications and longer and more expensive treatments. Now, this is nearly 8% of the more than $2.7 trillion spent yearly. So basically, you can say almost 10% of what we're doing is total waste that we might do something about.
Isn't there anyone watching this?
Our listeners are, you are, and I am.
Okay.
Now, if you think about the savings alone from this would pay for 24 million Americans' health insurance. 24 million could do this just in the way. Now, let's talk about what makes up the waste, okay? And this not only applies to America, but I know there's a listening from all over the world. This applies to your country, too. You know, it's going up worldwide, these incidences.
Yeah.
patients not taking the medications prescribed correctly at all. That's a problem, okay? Antibiotics prescribed inappropriately. Frequently, antibiotics are written for viruses that don't even respond to that. So you take the risk of a bad reaction. You take the risk of the medicines for no good reason.
Yeah.
Medication errors at every step of the way, from doctors' poor handwritings to mistakes that's done in the pharmacy to mistakes that are made in packaging the medicines and putting the active ingredient on, whether that's done in India or China or wherever that's done. All these other things, multiple medications, confusion, especially in the elderly. So all these don't even address death. These are just wasted money. So all these things together cost about $213 billion, 8% of all the money spent together, enough to put 24 million Americans to have insurance. Now, these are very conservative numbers, okay, when you look at the expenditure. These are a few and just a few of them. Now, as we talk, as chronic diseases like we've talked about, like mental illness, diabetes, pain, obesity, as all these start to rise in our society, guess what's going to happen? The waste is going to rise. The spending is going to rise. We have the best technology in the world, and yet we're failing miserable. And the reasons, we can talk about some of them today, but it goes on and on and on. So it's painfully obvious we must be sick with something, Charles. And it's not, we're not sick with taking too many medications, okay? That's not the cause, but it might be making things worse. Since disease rates are rising, okay, wastes are increasing, costs are soaring, something must be failing here. Okay,
yes, yes.
We're going to start talking about this more and more. I used to teach school a few years ago. I don't know if people knew that, but I started out my career teaching math and science. Mm-hmm. When I taught schools, Charles, if a student had a failing grade, okay, if they were failing for whatever reason, corrective actions and a new course of action really needed to be applied. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. If we didn't do that forward, the student could not move on. Yeah. You know, we just stopped right then and there. You know, they didn't go to the next grade. They didn't go to the next class. You fail, you don't move on. Yeah. A failing grade didn't mean that they would get rewarded, didn't mean they would get more money, didn't mean all these things. A failing grade assumed that mastery of the material, okay, was not achieved.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you apply this to what we're talking about in medicine, in medications, we must learn as providers, as patients, there are better ways to change the body's chemistry, methods that are less wasteful, methods that address the cause. And in the case of prescription medications, I definitely say in my book that 70% is a failing grade,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
And we need to do a lot more studying on this of why we're failing. And as we go on, talking today, I'm going to talk to people, why are we failing? You know, where is the problem? Why are we writing so many medications? What's been happening to us? If you think back 100 years ago, Charles, okay, if you didn't put leeches on a patient, you are considered a bad doctor.
Yes.
Bad doctor, no leeches.
Yes.
Okay. In the 30s, in the American Medical Association, there was an article that said, if you weren't giving someone a cigarette, if you had asthma, you were a bad doctor.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Nowadays, I'm afraid that, you know, they're going to look back on this history and say, you know, the people of that time said that if you weren't writing a prescription medication to change the chemistry for every little thing, you're a bad doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Most medications change one chemical pathway. Most medications treat symptoms and treat risk. Most medications do not globally affect the body. All of the medications that I know of have side effects. Many of the medications that we've talked about have dangerous side effects, can actually kill people. So in addressing this problem, okay, we have to go back and think about what is the cause of disease. And Dr. Hippocrates wasn't too far off when he says, let food be thy medicine.
Yeah.
But it's not only the food we eat, it's the stress we're under, the thoughts we're having, and the medications we're inducing in ourselves that might be contributing to the problem. So I know it's almost time to go to break. So when we come back to break, I want to give people a global feel of why 70% is a failing grade. And I want us all to study hard to figure out what what are the things that we know, so we won't be one that fails this treatment. We won't be one of the 7 in 10 that are taking a medication, or the 1 in 5 that are taking more than 5. I don't want this for you. There's other ways to change our chemistry other than taking a medicine. We're going to talk about that after we go to break. Okay, Charles?
What really scares me is that these people who are taking the medicine, bless their hearts, they are in an altered state. They don't know that. They are chemically altered, and their brains are chemically altered, and they're flying our airplanes. They're driving our cars. These are people all around us who are doing dangerous things, and there we are. Here we are in this altered state trying to stay alive together, and that scares the daylights out of me. So I'm going to listen very closely to what you have to say on the other side of our break. We'll be right back with Dr. James Markham. We're talking about failing the grade when we're taking all these medicines. So stay right where you are.
What are you doing, Sam? 64, 65. I'm counting my steps. 66, 67, 68.
Why?
Because to be totally healthy, you need to take at least 10,000 steps a day. I'm keeping track. 72, 73, 74.
How many so far today?
4,878, 79.
I'm glad you're trying to be healthy.
You can help me count. My tongue gets tired.
I heard that walking keeps your blood moving, brings fresh oxygen to your brain so you can think better, and makes your bones strong. How are your bones?
Hard as steel.
It's also good for your heart. How's your heart feel?
Tired.
Maybe we should rest.
Good idea.
So why all this sudden interest in health?
Well, my dad said that his doctor told him that if he doesn't exercise more, he could have a heart attack. The doctor told him to start walking 10,000 steps a day, so I told dad if he'd walk, I'd walk.
You're a very supportive son.
I try.
You know, there is an easy way of keeping track of your walking.
There is?
Sure, just walk an hour a day. That's what I read in school. Just walk briskly for 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and then 30 minutes after supper. That way you don't have to count.
Hey, that is easier. Let's try it. Do you have a watch?
No. Don't you?
91, 92, 93.
Maybe we should walk to the store. I think they're having a sale on watches.
97.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with cardiologist Dr. James Markham. He is the founder and director of HeartWise Ministries. And, of course, we invite you to the website, heartwiseministries.org, for more information. You can listen to programs. You can read his blogs. Lots of good things waiting for you right there at heartwiseministries.org. Dr. Markham, 70% of Americans are on prescription medication. Half of them are on at least 2 medications per day. These people are in an altered state. They think they're being fixed. They are not. They are causing danger to themselves and to others, and they may not even know that. What are we supposed to do with this situation? You're a doctor. Tell us what to do.
Yeah, 70% is a failing grade. So if my student is failing, I want to teach them what they need to know so they're not failing anymore.
Yeah.
And also, those that have already failed, I want them to have corrective action so they can maybe pass. So our goal here is to teach people the appropriate use of medications, what medicines they might talk to their doctor they might not need, things that they can do to come off medications, and also if you're on a medication, understanding the risk of the medications and understanding warning signs that you might be getting in trouble. We talked a little bit about the medicines that are most prescribed, the painkillers, the medicines for depression, the antibiotics. Those are up there. We're going to talk about those. When you might you be able to come off those, when you might be able to stay on them, what are the risks of those medications? But in approaching any problem, Charles, I always try to ask, well, what is the problem? Why do we have the problem that we have? And I like to think of the problem to begin with is stress that's put on a system. Okay. And that stress goes way back to, you know, when back to creation, when we started falling into this stressful world, well, sin came in, it changes the way we think, the way we related to each other, it changed our genetics. This has been passed down generations to generations. We live in one of the most stressful, full societies ever. There's stress on our systems that's been placed on our genetics from our ancestors. We add stress by the food we eat, and then our minds. Our minds are more stressed out than ever. You know, we stay up later than ever. We put things in our mind that might not be the best things. And all of these come with chemical reactions.
Yes.
These chemical reactions turn on genetics. These foods cause different chemical reactions in our body. The genetics cause different things to happen. Sooner or later, these chemical reactions cause a symptom, whether it be the symptom of gaining extra weight or a headache or palpitations or not sleeping at night. And sooner or later, a disease or condition develops. Yeah. Then our society has treated, and we talked a little bit about this, that the way we treat this symptom is with a medication, which might change one chemical pathway, but it doesn't necessarily get at the cause of disease. Now, some disease we never can get at the cause of certain genetic conditions. We can't get at those. But most of the diseases that we see now are self-inflicted by these things we do. Now, we talked about some medicines. Let's talk about the big three that we mentioned earlier. Antibiotics. Okay, let's talk about that. Lots of people take antibiotics. Well, some people definitely need an antibiotic, but a lot of people are getting treated with antibiotics for viral infections. Mm-hmm. These are infections caused by viruses, and yet they take the risk and the expense of an antibiotic that kills bacteria. The leading risk of an antibiotic, of course, is anaphylaxis. You know, people die every year. And the most common antibiotic that people die from is penicillin. Mm-hmm. You can have an anaphylactic reaction to that. That's a sudden collapse in your body. The body sees this as a foreign object. The body sends all its immune fighters to fight off this disease. And the body just goes into what we call shock and collapses. Yeah. That's a risk of antibiotics. Antidepressants. We talked about people taking those. Those are at risk for many reasons. Most of the antidepressants people get addicted to. Sometimes they use it inappropriate, mix it with alcohol or other medications, which can make the more potent. So antidepressants have a danger in it as well. Not that people don't need it. There's a place for it, but they have to realize there's a risk for it. But I also want to ask people all their alternatives to get off these antidepressants.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that, how they can get off a medicine like that. What about pain medicines? Unfortunately, a lot of people taking pain medicines, some people need it. A few years ago, they made a big deal in medicine about under-treating pain. We weren't treating pain well enough. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that was the problem, but we weren't necessarily finding the cause. So we've shifted it. We've created a lot of people that are addicted to narcotics that may or may not have chronic pain. Even they had pain, sometimes we quit looking for the cause of the pain. You know, this is a bad story, but, you know, it was not too long ago that there was a lady in the hospital and she was having pain in her back. And she never had back pain before. The nurse every 2 hours kept coming in there, giving her morphine. But you know, when the morphine wore out, the pain was there. When they got her up the next morning, they found the needle in her back. They took that out. She needed no more pain medicines.
Oh, man.
You know,
there was a needle left in her back, and that was the source of her pain.
Yes. But the point is you want to get at what's causing the pain. Okay. So let's talk about some medicines. What are some medicines out there that people are on that maybe they can get off of? Okay. Yeah. Sleep medications. Okay. A lot of people are taking sleep medications, and some of them are dangerous. Some of them aren't dangerous. They take them to help them sleep. But you know what? Maybe if a person says, I don't want to be on this medicine anymore, if you could find out what causes you not to sleep well, maybe you could be off that medication. For instance, it might be that you have a medical condition like sleep apnea. It might be because you're going to the bathroom. If a man has a big prostate, they might be going to the bathroom all night, and that might keep him up. Caffeine or other stimulants might be keeping it up. A lot of people don't realize that television can sometimes turn on these neuro circuits that make you stimulated at night, so you don't go to sleep as well either. There might be a host of other medications that people can be on that might be keeping them awake at night. So really, just something as simple as finding out what the cause of them not sleeping good at night, dealing with that. Maybe it's fear and anxiety. Maybe something just needs to walk and get tired. Maybe that's something, if you can change the reason why they're not sleeping, maybe they don't have to take a medicine for the next 30 or 40 years that definitely just knocks them out. And in the studies, the sleep medicines don't necessarily help you rest better. They just knock you out. And most of the sleep medicines, the studies have shown that the IQ is not as high on those if you've been taking many years. Some of the sleep medications are also addictive. So that's a medicine a person might be able to get off of. Now, you hear about all these anti-acid medicines. You know, they're all over, the ones that block acid in the stomach. Well, you know, if you can find out why you're making all that acid in your stomach, maybe you don't need to take that one either. Okay. Let's say you eat big at night and have to digest all this protein and make all this acid to digest protein. Maybe you don't need to do that. Maybe that will help. Maybe you're under lots of stress. Maybe you're taking too much caffeine. Maybe you're not hydrating yourself well. Maybe you have an infection like H. pylori in your stomach that needs to be looked for. The point is, if you can find out why, maybe you don't have to take that the rest of your life. How about type 2 diabetes? Oh, these are going up. The medicines for diabetes, type 2, going up all over. In fact, the doctor will put you on a medicine. Many of these medicines for type 2 diabetes makes you more hungry. Yes. So guess what? You eat more, you gain more. So I'm going to have to add another one. One, two, three, four medicines. Sometimes they're on insulin that serves as a growth hormone. And guess what? It doesn't get at the problem. I have some doctor friends that say, listen, I'm not going to put you on any medicines till I work on a real strict diet and exercise program and see how you feel. Okay. 1 hour of exercise really helps insulin resistance. And actual type 2 diabetes is a disease of fat. If you get the fat out of the diet, fat out of the cells, you usually don't need much. And 90% curable. But you don't hear much about that. Doctors really don't even give you the chance. Yeah. They get you on a medicine that causes you to eat more. And then you're sort of hooked, you know, chemically. So that's a medicine you might be off of. Well, we could go on and on. How about blood pressure medicines? Yeah. You know, Americans take too much salt in. We're under too much stress. We carry extra weight in our bodies. Sometimes we don't really have high blood pressure. We just get stressed out. They see it high in the office and they put us on a blood pressure medicine. If we can cut back on our salt, exercise, and there's natural things that can change our chemistry, lower our blood pressure, like exercising, a vegan diet lowers your blood pressure. It's been proven. Getting the weight off lowers your blood pressure. It's been proven. All of these great things that you can do yourself to change your chemistry globally so you don't have to block one chemical pathway, which may be risky in other ways.
Boy.
So if I went down all the different classes of medications, many of them, the ones that are most written, then we can talk about pain forever.
Yeah.
You know, what causes the pain? You know, what causes the depression? They say in some people that getting out in the sunshine, vitamin D, making serotonin, exercise, which increases the brain chemistry, and good nutrition can help your brain and depression just as much as writing a prescription medication. Mm-hmm. So the list goes on and on. Today, I just want people to realize that 70% is not a passing grade. There is ways you can come off your prescription medications. Medications do carry risk. They do carry cause of death, but I don't think there's any impetus for the media to talk a lot about it. That's why you're hearing a little bit about it today on HeartWise.
You know, your friend Dr. Hans Dieler will certainly agree with this. A lot of the people who graduate from the Complete Health Improvement Program, what they enjoy most is the reduction in medication when they have changed their life and they have changed their lifestyle. They enjoy that reduction in medication, just like you're saying. Absolutely right. Well, Dr. Markham, you have given us wonderful words of wisdom here. If followed, it can save us a lot of time, money, and sickness. And we appreciate your words. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Charles.
And until next time, listener, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.